All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Once again, Happy New Year. I know some of us were seeing for the first time, you were not around on Saturday and you were not around yesterday. All right, this is 2016. It's officially our first School of Prayer meeting. Yesterday was a special meeting for co-workers, but everybody who wanted to come was very highly welcome. I want to just say that this year is going to be a great year in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's going to be a great year. I said something on, that was yesterday for the special meeting. And let me just start from there today, that my brethren and I, we had a 20-day prayer meeting. And in the 20 days, because it was an online prayer meeting, different people took different times to do the prayer. It was supposed to be like 30 minutes each day. All right, for 20 days we prayed. The only day we bothered to take the issue of your enemies, all those kind of things, was just to obey the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he said you should pray for your enemies, you should do good to those who hate you, all right? You should pour water, all right? I'm adding words now, upon their own thirsty ground by blessing them, those who you believe are your enemies. And I said, we prayed that number of days, and nobody said, look, this year, my enemies will die. Nobody bothered. You know, I keep on saying these things because we need to get things right. And what I'm trying to do, I believe by the instruction of the Almighty God in this school of prayer, is to teach Christians how to pray effectively. I said something the other time. Let me say it again. Kindly please, especially at our school of prayer collection, 122 messages in which I spoke on prayer, different days, 122 days. Please listen to them and learn how to pray effectively and give it to somebody and help the person. What I'm trying to bring out is that nobody can stop your progress. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Nobody, no human being can stop the progress of the child of God. That's what I'm trying to emphasize again by referring to that. You know, some people will say, oh, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And they make the mistake of that is they misinterpret what Isaiah was saying. Isaiah was given the date in which he saw the Lord. It's like saying the year in which Muhammadu Buhari won the presidential election, I moved to Enugu. That was what he was saying. He was not saying that the death of King Uzziah was necessary for him to make progress in life. No, it was not at all necessary. David said it like that, that he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. We must understand this. Our enemies are not a hindrance to our progress. I don't know why the thing is so strong on my mind. I've been saying this since yesterday. Your enemies are not a hindrance to your progress. They cannot stop you from progressing. Don't let anybody deceive you by telling you that they have spirit husbands, mommy water spirits, or banjis. People are in the village. They are raising up incantation. Like one flyer I saw last year, a poster, packaged in the city and tied in the village. You get my point? You cannot be tied anywhere if you are a child of God. No human being can tie you if you are a child of God. The only thing that can hinder you is yourself. That is all. There's nobody else who can do it. You are the one that can do things that will hinder your progress. And that's why you have to learn to pray effectively, because God gave us prayer as a way by which we correct things, especially when we do things that are wrong. By the power of prayer, we correct them with our words. And that's what is called confession. You understand my point? By asking God for mercy. God gave us prayer to be able to control things that are beyond our own physical ability to control. Where you can't go, your words of prayer can go there. Things that are beyond you physically speaking, God gave you the power of prayer to be able to handle them. Your child is somewhere far away. Prayer here will be as if the child is in front of you. I don't know what I'm getting, what I'm trying to bring out here. All right? Somebody is supposed to help you by God's commandment and is far away. You are praying to God simply, and God will mobilize help from afar. That is why God gave us prayer. So we must use it effectively. Because the beginning of the year, again, I just want to, let's just do some things that are important when one is starting a new season. I said something before. I said on Saturday, again, that a new season actually is not dictated by a change of calendar. Yes, we are trying to, you know, help people by taking this change of calendar like a new season. But a new season actually is not determined by a change of calendar. A new season is determined when God says the old season has been accomplished. Are you getting my point? When it says the old season has been accomplished, and then a new season is set to begin. For example, if you enter into the university, if they say you are supposed to be there for 4 years, the 4 years has a meaning. The 4 years does not mean 1, 2, 3, 4 times 12 calendar months. The 4 year means physics 101, physics 102. Do you understand my point? Chem 101, bio 106, no, physics 125. They packed that together. That is year one. Then year two, you go on to it, whatever, depending on the subject you are studying. You find subjects for each year. Year three, assuming you are a physics student, all right? You see physics 301, physics 302, physics 303, second semester, they tell you 322, 315, you know. That's what they call year three. Year four, you start again. That is the meaning of a season. Now, if you enter into the university, and by the third year, you are still doing physics 105, you are still in year one. Physically, you are in third year, but academically, you are in first year. The season changes when you have accumulated enough credits from the core courses, the mandatory courses, and the electives to complete the first year. Then your second season starts. Then your whole season in university, all right, comes to an end when you've accumulated the total number of courses necessary, credits necessary. You've done your project, you've defended it, they will now award you a bachelor's in that particular area. That's when that season is over. Not because they change calendar. Not because they change vice chancellor. You are getting my point? It's because you fulfilled that which was necessary in a season that's supposed to go out, then you are ready to step into the next. All right? And when we're stepping into the next, there's a way we prepare ourselves. Okay, I was saying something yesterday for those of us who were around for the special prayer meeting. I was emphasizing the fact that God gave us words to water things ahead of us. So what I want to do today is just to lead us again. So let us take words and water this year. You know, for some people it's a new season, but for all of us, of course, it's a new year. Generally, calendar everywhere dictates that we start a new year at this particular point. But I just want us to take words and utter those words ahead and thereby create a spiritual atmosphere that, first of all, like I was saying yesterday, okay, in our hearts, and secondly, around us. First of all, the spiritual atmosphere is created in our hearts, and then secondly, it is created around us. And the emphasis of every child of God is the spiritual atmosphere that he is creating, she is creating inside himself, inside herself. Now, I was saying something earlier, nobody can stop you from progressing. I need to emphasize this, not even the economy around you. It's very important you get that point. It is how you react to things that matter. Crude fell from $100 naira to $35, from $100 to $35. It can only mean, okay, for you, the fellow who God is blessing, that it's a season for him to grow richer. If it increases from $35 to $100, he has only one minute. The season for that man to grow richer. Why? Because faith ensures that you float above the water. The water filled the whole earth and drowned everybody minus Noah and his family. Why? Because God gave them a technology, if I may use that expression, by which they were going to float above the waters. The most important thing, well, in this particular light now, is how you react to the news that you hear and the kind of things you say as a result of the things that you hear. If you hear that things are going down and you decide that everything is going down, then you will go down with it. Don't ever forget, even though Jesus wanted Peter to walk on water, he sank in the presence of the Lord Jesus because he began to fear, because he began to walk in unbelief. We must be careful to ensure that we walk in faith all the time. And when we walk in faith, even though we are walking on tumultuous waters, we will still remain afloat. That is very important. No matter what the things around are like, you will remain afloat. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is a matter of fact. And that's why God gave us his word, and I want us to engage that word today. Now, I want to just take one of the prayer days that my brethren and I prayed, and I want to use that one for us to pray. Actually, that was one we took on the first, on January 1. What I want us to do today, all right, is just to pour water upon the ground that we are going to be walking on in this particular year. And like I said, the way we do it is by our words that we speak. He said that he might purify her with the washing of water by the word. That is, the word of God is a water. That's what I'm trying to emphasize from that particular scripture. Now, what we want to do is just to take God's word and, all right, utter them. I just want to say something quickly about the power of faith. One of our sisters gave me a testimony about, that was on Saturday. It was an interesting testimony. Very simple, that when I was preaching during the seminar, I said something, I can't remember saying it, okay? But even though I went in that direction, that I said that as a child of God, just approach God as Father and ask Him for what you need. It is not about, let me use the expression now. It's not about sowing seed. It's not about activating faith in one particular area. You know, those mechanical things. Just approach Him as Father. Then she now said something. Of course, that she went and prayed for something she needed. And it took God exactly 24 hours thereabout to solve it. And she was so excited. She was telling me that. He said, oh, so I didn't know it was this simple. I should have just prayed this prayer since last month. And I'm going somewhere. I said to her, yes, indeed, it is simple. But why you could not have prayed the prayer the month before was simply because faith is stirred up by words. It was because you heard certain words that stirred up faith inside you. And for that reason, you were able to ask God something simply. And but your faith, now, you know, I said something the other day on Saturday, that faith is not how much you struggle. Faith is like muscle. It's either you have it or you don't have it. And the more you have it, the less you realize you are using it. I don't know whether you get my point. Did you hear what I said? Yes. The more you have the muscle, the less you realize that you are exerting it. It's those who don't have it. I mean, I've, as a child, I've given you something like, daddy, open my sweet for me. You know, those kind of things. And the boy has been biting that wrap, struggling with the wrap, chewing, almost chewing the sweet inside the wrap. Then he gives you the sweet, you just take it and just tear it, bring it out. And to him, you look like Superman. You had the muscle. So you didn't realize you were using it. That's how faith is. The truth is that most of the time we are trying to exercise faith is proof we don't have much of it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't use the little we have. I'm just trying to say that it is crucial that we always build up our faith. I just want to give that to us, all right? I don't know why I'm saying it now. Let me say, just to start this year, we'll start studying the Word of God. Please. This year. This new season, this new phase of life, whatever it is you want to describe it, that we are walking in, make sure that the building of your faith is a paramount thing that is inside your heart. Not the using of it. Listen, I know you have to use it. But I have found out that if you have it, using it is very easy. And the times you use it, you won't even know you are using it because you have built it. E.W. Kenyon said, if you wait till you have faith, till you need faith to try and go and get it, you waited too late. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Make sure that this season, it is about what? Building up my faith. Maybe on Saturday, I don't want to stay on that, and I just felt like just dropping that slightly. Well, why I went into that initially was that I wanted to say that in this kind of atmosphere where we are encouraging ourselves with the Word of God, all right? That's actually why I went into that. Please participate from the bottom of your heart because faith is stirred up when the Word of God is coming. That's why he told that story. So that there are things you will say today, they will produce dramatic results for you this in this same year. Are you getting my point? Yes, a prophetic word, this same year, in 2016. And it will be a result of what you declared today, physically today that we are talking. Why? Because as we are sharing the Word of God, and as we are expounding the Word of God, the spirit of faith is flowing. One of my friends, he lives in Canada. I don't know about now, but then Canadian visa was so hard to get. American visa was twice as easy, you know, like it was much easier. And then one day he listened online and listened to a message I preached on anatomy of prayer. Apparently I said the same thing there. He had believed God, he had confessed word, he had done everything because he wanted his mother to come and visit. The mother had tried for visa again and again. Canadians had said no. So that they said he finished listening to anatomy of prayer. And then he sat down on the floor, I think on the stairs inside his house. He said he sat down there and just asked the Lord simply. Just leaned back. Said, dear Lord, the same principle. He said, just ask the Lord simply and said, Lord, I want my mother to come and visit. Please grant her a visa. I think that week or the following week, the woman got a visa. So he called me from Canada to share the testimony with me. That's what happened though. I just listened to when you were teaching on just something about the simplicity of prayer, approaching God with a simple heart, not speaking big English. My wife can testify to you, I don't have a prayer sound. You know when I say prayer sound? The same voice with which I talk to you, that's the same way I pray. In fact, when my wife and I are praying sometimes, she doesn't know when I'm praying and when I'm talking to her. I may be saying something, saying, the Lord is good, He will supply. So maybe we're believing God for something. I just suddenly say, hey, you see, like I was saying the other day, she has to pause, like, are you talking to me or talking to Him? One day she told me, say, you pray funny. Now, please, what am I saying? I'm just going to emphasize the simplicity of the prayer, but back to the main reason why I referred to it. What happened in those situations was that the people were in that atmosphere where the word of God was coming. Are you getting my point? And that stirred up faith in their hearts. And they acted upon it without trying to exercise. Now, that's the point. Without trying to exercise faith. But because muscle was built. And that's what I'm trying to say. When we are here today, listen, I'm going to be sharing word as we are displaying the word of God. Let me summarize like this. Expect a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Expect the Lord to do something serious for you. Amen?
Amen.
Expect doors that were closed before to open for you.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Expect confusion to disappear from your life.
Amen.
You know, these days, if somebody says, if I'm supposed to make a serious decision, I don't worry much. In fact, I don't worry at all. Even if I don't know what to do now, I say by that time, I will know what to do. I am just so certain that God will speak two different ways, and I will know what to do. Listen, somebody's listening to me. You will know what to do.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You will know what to do.
Amen.
I said something yesterday when we were praying, as we were running off that. Listen, we talked about strongholds, and our strongholds sometimes, now strongholds are very strong, and that's why we have to consciously break them down. I said, one of the things that strongholds do is to make people do things that are not helping them, and they will not know. Because if they knew, they would have stopped. What I'm trying to emphasize, God's manifestation, His breakthrough, the thing He wants to bring into our lives, usually there is something He wants us to do for us to be able to receive that thing. Now, when I say want us to do, let me emphasize. Sometimes Christians say, okay, I need to go and sow a seed. Now, listen. Sometimes that's what you need to do. But it's not often. It's not as frequent as people make it sound these days. It's not as frequent. All right? Sometimes it is just the time you wake up. That's what I'm trying to explain. Sometimes it is the kind of work that you do. Read the Moshakarian's story. When they went to pray, God said to them two different ways, that go into dealing in farm produce. And that, when that man just changed direction and started dealing in farm produce, all right? Started with vegetables, went into dairy, became a dairy farmer. That made him a multi-millionaire. I don't know where you're getting my point. If he had continued on the road that he was on, he would never have made it. But he would not have known except the Lord revealed it to him. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. That's what I'm saying to somebody. You will know what to do.
Amen.
Many times we are on one spot because we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing. And the only way you will leave that spot is if God reveals to you the next thing to do. Let me say to you again, you will know what to do.
Amen.
God will reveal to you clear direction beginning from today.
Amen.
When the apostle was praying earlier, he told the story of the man that got fired today. And I was saying it, I felt like calling the man, I said, tell the man, wait. Tell him that he shouldn't worry. Say, God knows what you need before you even ask him. So the guy needs to do two things. Number one, his prayer was that he will rejoin his family. First, pack and go and join your family. That's the immediate answer. After all, you could be on leave. And if from the kind of place he was working, they'll give you severance benefits. So let that be your salary for the next 2 months. Don't worry. Then pray a simple prayer. Lord, now that you have fired me from there in answer to prayers, what next do I do? Listen, this is what in his case, I'm so certain. Unless he wants to sink like Peter. Because Peter will say, look at it now. I was praying for God to bless me. Now he has sacked me. What kind of thing is this one? If he talks like that, he will drown. If he talks like that, he will drown. But if he understands this word, all right, that yes, God has removed me from this job because I want to go back to meet my family. If he accepts that with rejoicing, this I am certain of, at least in that man's case. The next job or business he starts, within a year, he will be earning double what he lost. That is, what he was earning where they fired him. Within a year, why I say within a year is that if it's a business he starts, it might take a few months to build up. But within a year, that fellow will be earning double what he was earning where he got fired. This time around, he'll be earning it living with his family. I hope you are getting my point. Because God will open his eyes and he will know what to do. Why am I stuck on this matter? Okay, I'm prophesying. You will know what to do.
Amen.
You will know what to do.
Amen.
Somebody is listening to me say, I've looked for a job for the last 6 months. It hasn't worked out. Did I tell you the truth? You have looked in the wrong places. Listen. You have been looking in the wrong places. The place where God wanted to bless you from, through, you have despised it. Every time somebody suggested it, you said, I beg. Just think about over the last few weeks. How many things have you done, I beg to? Maybe your father suggested it. Your friend suggested it. All those things that you did, I beg to. Go home and go and do. What did you say to them? Are you getting my point? The reason why you have not gotten it is that you have been looking in the wrong places. That thing has been stirring up, you know, trying to come up to you so that you will receive it and you have said no. Let me quickly prophesy for you. You will know what to do.
Amen.
Somebody say,
I will know what to do.
I receive wisdom
in
2016 in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's pour the water of the word upon our lives. Let's throw water ahead. There's one new thing I want to introduce in this season. It's a practice that we have used amongst my brethren. I just want to introduce it here. You know, when we share the only one I want to start teaching, I ask us to repeat some things. I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will and all of that. There's one I want to start. I will change it here and there. Anytime I want to start praying, let me start with it. Let me just quickly explain something. I call it that boldness to enter into his presence or the righteousness of God. Give it any title you like. Okay, repeat this after me and I will explain it, okay? I want to introduce it beginning from now. Anytime I want to pray, you will hear me do things like this, okay? Please, just repeat this one after me. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I enter into the presence of God to pray. Now listen to this. I have confidence to enter into his presence.
I have confidence to enter into the presence of God.
Say like you believe it. I have come by the new and living way.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now listen to this attentively and repeat it convincingly. I have not come in the power of my good works.
Or any righteousness that is derived from me.
I have come because of grace and mercy.
These I have through the Lord Jesus Christ.
I have come in the name of Jesus.
I have come by faith.
And I have confidence that the Lord will hear me.
Amen.
You know what I've done? All right, let me just explain it. The thing became strong on my heart as towards the end of the year. I didn't even know I started doing it some time before that when I'm leading prayer for my brethren. And the reason is this, one of the things that weaken faith is the basis upon which we come to pray. I said something before, faith is interesting. If it is there, it works. If it's not there, you may not even know it's not there. You get my point? And if you have a wrong confidence, the real faith is not present and you won't get results. And you may not know it. Let me quickly explain what I'm going to say. Many people don't get answers to their prayers simply because they come on a wrong premise. And this is the premise I'm talking about. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I have helped the poor. I have fasted. They don't say it, but they think it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They may not say anything, but it's deep inside their hearts. I've heard it many times. I've heard it many times. I've heard people say that those of you who have fasted, there's no way God won't hear you. More than those who did not fast. The day I heard that, I almost felt like telling the guy talking, stop that nonsense. Because it's not true. What he meant is that some people have gone without food, some have been eating. The volume of food in your stomach totally says nothing about whether God will hear you or not. I'm sure we are clear on that. The man who hasn't eaten for 30 days and the one who has eaten regularly, 3 square meals a day for 30 days, there is no difference in their ability to pray. Why do people fast? It's a different story. I'm not dealing with that now. People say, before you can face devils, you must fast. Listen to me, it is not true. It is the power with which you face the devils that matter. Either it's the name of Jesus or it is not the name of Jesus. Please bear that in mind. Now, one thing that happens to people, like I was saying, is that they have this subtle confidence. That's why I said something some time ago. Some people may have misunderstood me, but I didn't mean meant what I was saying. I said, before you pray this prayer, go and eat. You know why? So that you will stop having any confidence in yourself. He said, okay, I'm believing God for breakthrough. I said, your next salary, don't give from it. Don't tithe from it. Don't help anybody. Eat everything. Eat it, waste it. When it has finished, then go and pray. He said, Pastor, what are you teaching somebody? I said, because this fellow goes to pray with a kind of confidence that spoils faith. I'm not saying don't help people normally. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying if it's necessary, take time out, okay, to study the word of God and wait upon the Spirit of God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying there are people that they need to go and eat before they pray so that God can hear them. There are those that God will say, listen, before breakthrough will come, you will go 3 months without paying tithes, 3 months without first fruit, second fruit, third fruit, or fifth fruit. Say, Panky, what are you teaching? I'm trying to get people to learn to pray with the confidence that is derived only from the mercy of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you should make a lifestyle habit, all right? A lifestyle habit of being selfish. I'm not saying make a lifestyle habit of being gluttony. I'm not trying to explain that people must not give. Of course, I can't say that. You know, I cannot say that. I'm just saying some people, before God can hear them, they have to break certain rules. It's those rules that have been preventing them from being heard. Why? Simply because anytime they want to pray, they have confidence that God will hear them. But that confidence is not based upon the word of God. It's not based upon the mercy in the blood of Jesus. It's not based upon any other thing than, I have said the right things, I have done the right things. That's what I'm talking about. In our church, we did a program in December. I didn't miss one day. I was the one that opened the chair, I opened the doors, cleaned all the seats. This year, God saw it now. Was not? He saw it. Pray in the name of Jesus. It's a lie. You're not praying in the name of Jesus. You are praying in the power of good works. It's subtle. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. It's subtle. It's quietly there. I've heard it before. I'm helping other people's children. God will not let anything happen to my own. That is begging the devil to make something happen to them. Yeah. You are begging. Say, devil, make me an example. It's subtle. People come in. Father God, he will supply my need. Why? Today he went to work. He helped somebody. One woman was crying. Why are you crying? School fees. It's time for school fees. And my children. You know I'm a widow. And then he dipped her in the pocket and gave the woman money. And paid this fees for the 3 children. And the woman said, God bless you, God bless you. And you go home and you kneel down. Say, Father, hey, I was talking about that car. Unconsciously, like, you were there this morning, you know. I mean, myself, I did try. It's an unconscious thing, but it's been ruining your life, you don't know. I don't know whether you're getting the point. That's why I wrote this. So that anytime we come to pray, we always remind ourselves that I have not come in the power of my good works or any righteousness that is derived from me. I have come only because of grace and mercy. I have come through Jesus Christ. I have come in the power of his name. I have come by faith. I hope in your love. I hope in your mercy. Nothing else. Let me just please say something to us. Maybe because of force of habit, you know, you are used to doing something for years. It may be hard for you to go away all of a sudden. So you want to pray. was about to pray for money. You remember last Sunday? They said, who will sow a seed of 50,000? Remember, you give. So you suddenly started remembering. Let me tell you what you do. Open your mouth and confess. Say, Lord, please let me report myself. As I was about to start praying to ask you for blessing, financial blessing, promotion, increase in my business, I began to remember the offerings I give. Please, I want to say I'm sorry for remembering them. I want to say those offerings don't qualify me for anything. I want to say that's not the reason why I'm praying. If any thought like that comes up again, Lord, forgive me. It's just a bad habit. Wash me. The Bible says that if you confess like that, he will make those thoughts stop coming. That's what John meant when he said he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's how you handle it. I can't say this thing enough. Please, people of God, we have given the devil too much power in our lives by subtly, gently. No, Job said something. He said, have I ever looked at the moon and secretly I raised my hand towards, that is in worship? Sometimes we do many of these things secretly. This deep in, it's hidden there. That church, I know how much I spent on it. So when you go to pray, Father God, you will build my life, you will build my house. After all, I built you a house. One of the most wicked things you can do before God, that's what you have just done. It's called pride. And listen, one of the greatest sins, as far as God is concerned, is pride. I'm not sure it's not the greatest, but I'm sure it's amongst the top two. Pride. Except that people, many times, they don't know the meaning of the word pride. They think pride is, I better pass my neighbor. Are you getting my point? I'm better than my neighbor. That's not what pride is. Pride, that's part of it. I'm not saying that's not pride, but that's not the main thing. Pride is, let me give you a few definitions for pride. Pride is when you approach God and you think you deserve something. That is pride. Pride is when you say, I'm not like other people, God. You will do this for me. That is pride. Let me give you another one that will surprise you if you have never thought about it before. One major definition of pride is when you say, this person, these people, the society, the environment is the reason why I'm not making progress. God causes pride. Did you hear what I said? No matter how right you are, listen, if they say unemployment in your country for people of your age is 90%, 90% what I said. Maybe you're a young man, you're 30, you're looking for work, you look for work for 6 months, 7 months, 1 year, you don't find, and they say, well, why have you not found a job? He said, you know the country the way it is. God said, it is pride, I won't help you. I don't have time to go into these details now. God says it's what? Pride. Once you blame somebody else for the situation you are in right now, Elihu was the one that taught us that by the Spirit of God. He said it's called pride, and God does not listen. Why have I not gotten admission? It's because I don't know anybody. Those who know people now, they have gone in. God said, you are a proud man. I'll keep you on that spot for a very long time. Those are two definitions of pride most people don't know. Most people know the definition of pride that I can't be driving this kind of car. That's not the car my roommate is driving. That man is proud. When you greet him, he doesn't shake people's hands. He just look at you, say, how are you doing? He says, very snobbish. Don't mind him. He's proud. Is he proud? Possibly. But the kind of pride many people get involved in, they don't realize is what I'm describing. They say, do you know why I'm anointed today? I prayed more than all of you. That is what? Pride. No, this grace upon me, it didn't come easy. I know the fastings. I know the prayer mountain. Once a man talks like that, just know he's on his way down. Why? Because pride will first manifest before you fall. Man of God, why are you anointed? I will tell you in case you did not know. It is because you are called. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes, you are called. So the person who called you put grace upon you. It is not because you prayed. Go and check. Moses was not praying when he was anointed. He was arguing. He was arguing. Go, I'm not going. Why won't you go? I stammer too much. Okay, I will help you. Why? Why don't you look for somebody? The man was arguing. Yes, God gave him the kind of anointing that it took Jesus Christ to surpass him. It took Jesus to surpass Moses. And Moses was so anointed, God used to get angry when people argue with Moses. That was how anointed that man was. Yet, what did he do to be anointed? I will tell you what the main thing he did to be anointed. He got tired. God waited till he was weak and tired, and he had given up, and all the strength of a Luther had left his body. Yes, that's how God did. God just waited till the guy was tired. At the age of 80, he had given up on everything. God now appeared to him. He had lost self-confidence. All the wisdom of Egypt had left him. God now gave him a staff. A staff that worked even when he's in disobedience. I don't know what I get my point. You've forgotten that story? Because when you get there, speak to the rock. God said, why should I talk? The staff works. That staff was working. That's how powerful the man was. But how did he get it? Because he prayed. You were there. You read the story. Did he pray? No. So, man of God, you are not anointed because you prayed. I've heard preachers say it. The reason why I'm anointed today, some believe they went to Jerusalem. The only thing in Jerusalem, in case you don't know, is pilgrimage site. There is no anointing there. Let me not go there now. Okay, I will go there. If you want to go to Israel, it's just to go and sightsee. It's to see sight and sightsee. That is all. Jesus is not there. God is not there. You know what God called the place? Ichabod. The glory has gone to Nigeria. It's not in your Bible like that. The first part. There's nothing there. I don't know. Why am I saying this? If anybody comes to tell you that he brings olive oil from, what do you call it? From Jerusalem. Tell him that God is in cottonseed oil. What's the popular oil we use in Nigeria now? No brand I'm talking about. The women, these guys, you don't know anything. I'm talking about the women, please. Can you help us? Madam? Huh? Gamaliel? God is as much in ground oil made with local groundnuts and soya bean as much as is in the olive oil you harvested from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. I'm explaining why I wrote that thing. These are the subtle things that we bring that kills prayer. Prayer just doesn't work. Once we come to God and say, we have done this, and our hearts gently, you know, and one of the ways you will know that you depend on those things, that you will never pray until you have done them. Matter day, say, let us fast first. I'm not saying fasting is for when you don't understand direction. Are you getting my point? You need to seek direction. What am I supposed to do next? My business at the particular level, I don't pray, nothing is moving. So let me take time out to seek the face of God in prayer and fasting. What that means simply is that you take time out to concentrate. One of the things I found out, oh God, I'm saying many things. And let me say it, Navi. You have any problem with it? Thank you. One of the things I have found out, I get direction easily when I start thinking about something. What I mean is this. And there's a scripture for it. The Bible says to Nebuchadnezzar, he said that when you were on your bed, your mind turned to know the things that will happen in future. Then once his mind turned to find out what will happen in future, God gave him a vision. That's why God does it. Go and look at Moses also. What did the Lord say about Moses? Moses was passing, then he saw, then the bush was burning, and the bush was not consumed. And the Bible says he turned to look. And when God saw that he turned to look, he spoke to him. Now that's the principle of fasting. It's a concept that you are turning to look and asking, what is going on? Why am I not making the progress I thought I should be making? Why is it that I'm stagnated at this point? Why is my wife and I always fighting? When you conclude that it's because she's a wicked woman, that's pride. But when you bother to ask what is going on, that's called fasting. That's waiting upon the Lord. That's when you take a Bible, just sit there, Father, I give you thanks. What is going on? Listen to a message. Father God, I give you thanks. What do I do next? It gets to a point, say, my ministry is a particular spot. What do I do next? That is what fasting is about. But back to the matter of prayer. When we say that, okay, let us pray about this, let us fast till evening, what are you fasting? To get some spiritual strength. You are a proud man. You need that strength. Okay? That sense of I have done something to come to prayer. Let me tell you what real spiritual power is. You are sleeping. Then your children wake you up. Daddy, 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 daddy. Maybe some trouble in the house. And you say,
peace be still.
And then you continue sleeping. That is spiritual power. You know where I got that from? You know where I got that from? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sleeping. And they woke him up. Say, why are you waking him up? Say, we're about to die. Okay, nobody dies here. Any other thing? No. Then he goes back to sleep. That's spiritual power. The one with that spiritual power say, people are about to die, wait. Then let's fast for 3 days. Anybody that's alive at the end of 3 days, I will have generated enough power to save that one's life. This is my message on prayer today. I hope it's delivering somebody. Some of you, any good work you've been doing that's been helping you to pray, don't do it for some time. You will see miracles the type you have not seen before. Yes. The one that you have been showing, I will say this one direct. I know many people don't like it. But know what I like about this thing I'm about to say? The people that don't like it are pastors. I've never heard the congregation member that doesn't like it. Yes. The only that lets you know that I must be right. That the problem is the accounting. Do you get my point? That's what the problem is. So let me say it. This one that you have been sowing seed for, you have given towards it, you have planted the seed, you have given towards, you have tithed, you have first fruited, which is in that first fruit doctrine that's very common in Christianity today. I hope you know it's fraud. It's fraud. You know what I like about Kingdom World Ministries? Here I say anything I like. Now only you are welcome. I can tell you boldly. This first fruit in Christianity of today that the whole of your general salary somebody collects is fraud. I don't mind you giving your 6 month salary to anybody, but that doesn't give you anything with God. It's just you just want to give him. I plan to give my landlord January salary. Am I going to use it to pray? No. Yes. I have those days when I first started working. There was a time my wife and I gave my father 11 months salary. I wanted to buy him a gift. And that was what it took me to buy it. 11 months earning working as a consultant at UNTH. My wife is a witness. Did I use it to pray? No. I just knew that I wanted to do it. Nobody else would do it. It's been my dream to be able to do it. So my wife and I settled down and said, yes, these guys have not paid me for 10 months. When they pay, we're going to use the money for this. And we did. The money was not enough. I waited for the 11th month, added it to it. Anybody fight me? No. I use and pray? No. I can love my church so much, I give them 12 months salary. And live on the rest, whatever that is. But for somebody to tell me that God demands he collects my whole January salary is fraud. I know the inner stories behind these things. Those men don't believe it. They are raising money. I know the stories behind these things. Feel confident. God does not need your January salary. You know what he needs? Your whole life. And any money he gives you, you spend it the way that's pleasing to him. There is seed for the sower, and there's bread for food. What is seed for the sower? What's bread for food? Every responsibility that you're supposed to participate in is seed for the sower. You're a member of a church. Yes, they are spending money there. Church needs money to run. You understand my point? Take their portion, cut it, give them. The clergymen, they need to eat. Depending on the way the thing is, they have been a blessing to you. Cut their portion, give them. You have a mother. She's a pensioner. She's not earning much anymore. And what if she's earning? What does it matter? A son honors his father and his mother. That's the way it is. You cut her portion, you give her. You cut your father's portion, you give him. For goodness sake, you have relatives that can't, school fees is starting again this week, Abby. I told my wife yesterday, I said, are we paying school fees this time? I said, what do you mean? University people don't pay now. They pay at the beginning till next year. He said, this one are primary school. I said, the one we pay, you don't expire. No, you know, there are people that once they don't want holiday to end. They are parents like that. You think they love holiday? They don't love holiday. It's just that when holiday ends, school fees come. So they are wondering that, hey, what am I going to say? You have people like that around you. Cut their portion and do what? Give them. And then for goodness sake, stop behaving as if you are the only one God wants to punish. You can afford a new shirt. Go and buy a new one. That is part of bread for food. One of my doctors the other day, I told him that money, when money sees you, he runs away. He said, why, chief? I said, because every time all he says, I don't have money. I said, money doesn't like you again. The guy's always whining. Every time he says, okay, let's do this. Hey, chief, I don't have money. And my wife says, I don't have money. I forbid you from talking like that in Jesus' name. Amen. What am I trying to say? You say, walk down to ShopRite and I'm going to eat ice cream. What's your problem? He said, it won't carry me to heaven. Neither will it carry you to hell. Did you know? I don't know for a human being. Enjoy life small. This one you are saving for tomorrow. You will be poor tomorrow. You don't need to save that one for tomorrow. If you want to be rich tomorrow, do what I'm telling you right now. It's your friend's birthday. Scratch him 200 naira recharge card. Send to him. This is how God said we should spend money. See what I've said? That's how to make progress. Do like this. You know what I like about what I have said now? When you go to pray, you know there's nothing. What are you going to do? You don't say, God, I have done. You have not done anything. Which is why I went into all of this. But I've gotten stuck there and I'm enjoying it, so why not? Let's just enjoy ourselves, all right? Listen. Why I wrote these things that were just quoted is what I'm talking about. I've been talking about since. What we are simply saying in effect is this. When we go to prayer, when we come to pray, we have no other confidence. No other confidence. More than, God, you are good. Jesus, you are kind. Thank you, you love us. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you. We come in the power of your good works, of your own works, not in the power of our own works. Why do I have this feeling? Somebody is going to receive quick answer this season. Amen. Yes, you will get answers. This time around, you are going to pray with nothing else as your confidence, more than, I have come in the name of Jesus. Jesus died for me. Thank you, Lord. By the power of his blood, I have been washed clean. That blood has covered all my sins. It has washed away all my mistakes. It has washed away everything that I did. It has made me righteous. Because of that, I know you will answer me. Listen to me. You say what I have said, you will get answers to your prayers 100% of the times. Don't say, God, you know I'm a big man of faith. No. Just say what I have said. Lord, there is nothing I have brought more than my hope in your mercy. My trust in your goodness. I'm not better than anybody else. All of us, were it not for Jesus Christ, we're on the same level. I come through that Lord Jesus. And that's why I said from now on, I'm going to write these things to just make it very uniform. Anytime we want to pray, we'll declare it. God, we have not come with any other confidence than that which we have in the power of the name of Jesus. We have not come in the power of our own good works. We have not come because we think we have done something to deserve anything. We have just come because you are good. And you said, if we come, you will answer. That's all. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's rise to our feet. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know what Jesus said? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it will hear you. He said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say that is anything God says, because of that we declare. Are you getting my point? If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to just read something from there briefly. The Bible says we have a covenant established on better promises than that which the Jews had. So we just want to take some foundation from what they had. He said in verse 1, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, which for us is holding on to our faith in Christ Jesus." That's our commandment. Loving the Lord our God with all our hearts through the faith that we have in his Son. He said, "It will happen that the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." He said, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." When I read this, I want you to say amen, all right?
Amen.
Blessed shall you be in the city.
Amen.
Blessed shall you be in the country.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the offspring of your body.
Amen.
And blessed shall be the produce of your ground.
Amen.
And blessed shall be the offspring of your beasts.
Amen.
And you will be blessed in the increase of your herd.
Amen.
And in the young of your flock.
Amen.
He said, "Blessed you will be in your basket.
Amen.
And blessed you will be in your kneading bowl."
Amen.
That is where you bake, that place will also be blessed.
Amen.
Now listen, he said, "Blessed you will be when you come in. And blessed shall you be when you go out."
Amen.
Said, "The Lord shall cause your enemies, the problems, the difficulties of life, all right, and people that are against you, who rise up against you, to be defeated before you."
Amen.
He said, "They will come against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways."
Amen.
Seven ways means they will flee in every available method. Are you getting my point? He said, "The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your bands,
Amen.
And in all that you put your hand to do.
Amen.
It will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives to you." He said, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself,
Amen.
As he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways."
Amen.
Now he said, "The Lord will make you abound in prosperity,
Amen.
In the offspring of the body,
Amen.
In the offspring of your beast,
Amen.
And in the produce of your ground,
Amen.
In the law which the Lord your God has given you.
Amen.
The Lord will open to you his good storehouse, the heavens,
Amen.
To give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands.
Amen.
And you shall lend to many nations,
Amen.
But you shall not borrow."
Amen.
Now listen to this. "The Lord will make you the head,
Amen.
And not the tail.
Amen.
You will be above alone,
Amen.
And you will not be beneath.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Now let me just, there's a reason why I read that, because I want us to, with our own mouths, you know, you are your own greatest prophet. Who's the greatest prophet in your life? Touch the greatest prophet in your life. You are the greatest prophet in your life. I'm the biggest prophet in my own life. A prophet, I said on Saturday, there are no people that predict. The primary role of prophets is not to predict. This one you see at the beginning of the year, every prophet thinks he must tell us what will happen that year. How many governors will fall sick? How many Nollywood stars will die? That's when I knew all of them had lost their anointing. Once you start that, I stop listening to you. You do not have a job. Leave that one for TB Joshua, for goodness sake. Are you getting my point? If you are a real prophet of God, concentrate on declaring the word of God. And if God gives a special revelation, then we will know. Like, I love the man, Sunday Bakari. When he says prophet, that one is a prophet. That's a prophet I know. The man is a real prophet. The Lord is good. What am I going to say? The job of a prophet is not to be predicting. It's not you, at the beginning of the year, start predicting what will happen, which plane will crash, how many accidents will happen. You understand? Which city? No, that's not the job of a prophet. The primary job of a prophet is just to declare the counsel of God. All right? Bring people back to the fear of God. If God has any special revelation, he will reveal it. All right? And especially to the people that are concerned. You don't need to go on national TV and tell us a governor will fall sick. Call the government houses and talk to them. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. The Lord is good. So you are your own greatest prophet. And based upon what you have read now, because he said, because he has said, therefore we boldly say. Okay, so I want us to begin to say something, all right? Now I want you to begin to declare. Say, in 2016,
in 2016,
in this new year,
in this new year,
blessed shall I be in the city,
blessed shall I be in the city,
and blessed shall I be in the country.
And blessed shall I be in the country.
Blessed shall be the offspring of my body,
blessed shall be the offspring of my body,
and blessed shall be the work of my hands.
And blessed shall be the work of my hands.
My business will be blessed.
My career will be blessed.
My ministry will be blessed.
I will be blessed in my basket.
And I will be blessed in the bread that I bake.
I will be blessed when I come in.
I will be blessed when I go out. The Lord will cause all the enemies that rise against me.
He will cause all the troubles that rise against me
to be defeated before me. They shall come against me one way,
but flee in all directions.
The Lord will send his blessing upon my storehouses. And on everything to which I put my hands. His blessing will be upon me in this land. He will establish me as a holy person unto himself. Now he said, all the peoples of the earth shall see that I am blessed. They will see that I am called by the name of the Lord. And they shall have respect for me. The Lord will make me fertile in every good thing. In the fruit of my body. And the fruit of my cattle. And the fruit of my fields. In the land which he has planted me. I will walk in health. I will walk in prosperity. Even as my soul prospers. My mortal body will receive life. I am immunized by the Spirit of God. Therefore, I walk in divine health. Say in 2016, perfect health is my portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say in this new year, I say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, and in you I trust. Therefore, I will not need to fear. I will not fear the terrors of the night. I will not need to fear. I will not fear the arrows that fly by day. I will not need to fear. I will not fear the plagues that roam around in the dark. Or the epidemics that strike at noon. For they will not come near me. Even though 1,000 may fall dead beside me. And 10,000 at my right side. None will come near me in the name of Jesus Christ. Say in 2016, I have made the Most High my home. I have made the Most High my dwelling place. Therefore, no harm will come to me. No sickness will come near my house. He will put his angels in charge of me to protect me in all my ways. They will carry me in their hands. So that I will never injure my foot against a rock. Say, the Lord will rescue me. He will protect me because I know his name. When I call him, he will answer. He will be with me when I'm in trouble. He will save me and honor me. He will satisfy me with long life. And he will show me his salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ. What are we doing? We are pouring the word of God ahead into this, the remaining part of this year. That's what we are doing. We are declaring the word of God into the year. What we are doing is to put the word of God ahead so that we can step on cool ground. There's something I want to quickly add to it. Let me just quickly look for it here, because this is what is most important. All right. The Lord is good. I want us, because without the knowledge of God, forget it. What did I say? Forget it. And that's one thing I want to just quickly declare the word of God concerning in this new year. We'll take more of it maybe next time, but let me just take this particular one, all right? Because what we need most importantly in this life is understanding and a closer walk with God, all right? If you ever follow me on Twitter, you see one of the tweets I sent out around the beginning of the year. Say, look, what is this year? Make it your year of understanding. Your year of a closer walk with God. That's what it is. And all other things will be added to you. I hope you get my point. I said something earlier when we began. Make it a matter of priority, a matter of everyday priority, that your faith is constantly being built up. Because the fellow that has big faith does not even consciously exercise it. When the Lord Jesus was going to curse the tree, he didn't go to the tree and say, this tree, I will show you who is the Son of God. This tree, you will die today. Peter, hold my right hand. John, hold the left one. It's coming. The anointing is coming. Whoa, tree, die. No. Just went to the tree, looked at the tree. How come there's nothing on this tree? Just did work at the tree. Useless tree. That was about all he said. And the tree died. And when they asked Jesus, why did the tree die? He said it was because of the faith that I exercised habitually in God. That's something I want to emphasize there. That's what he was saying. It wasn't because I was trying to curse the tree. It was because I had faith in God. My faith in God put power in my words. I don't know whether you got that. That my faith in God put power in my words. For that reason, anytime I talk, things happen. I don't try to make things happen. I just keep my faith in God. And when I open my mouth, things begin to happen. You know, they came to him and said, do you know the Lord Jesus? You know what happened? What? When we cast out demons, you all mention your name, they were running away. And Jesus said, do you know why it happened like that? He said, because I was beholding and I saw Satan fall like lightning down to the earth. That is what I have. Sorry, what I understand, what I have seen is what decides the amount of power that manifests towards my name. That's what he was saying. If there's one thing, you know, when we're young those days, I don't know about those of you who grew up in Enugu and Onitsha and Owerri, all right? Those of us who grew up on that side, all right? When we're children, all the dramas we used to watch were all these killing people by jazz. That was the drama. But you know, there's some things they used to say, which were derived actually from what they call Odu-Ifa. That's the mysteries of the Ifa people, okay? One of the things they used to say that time is that, and I found out from now as a Christian, that it's actually true. They will say, leave that thing. I will soon call it by its real name. I don't know whether I get my point. There's a way they say, we'll call the weather by its real name. It will stop raining. Of course, we learn to say it as children, say, leave him. We'll call it his real name very soon. When you're in school, brag. Leave that boy, I will call him by a real name. We didn't know the meaning. But it's now I understand that what Jesus was saying, Satan, you call him Satan. Let me tell you what I call him. Because I beheld and I saw that he fell. So when I'm talking to him, I talk to a falling fellow. Are you getting my point? I call him by his real name. He has no choice. He has to respond. What am I trying to say? It's understanding you need in life. My friend visited us Christmas time, and by the time he finished talking about true riches, I said, Topsy, this year I have to preach on true riches. What was he saying? He said, listen, it appears to him that if Christians understand what Jesus meant by true riches, they would know they have no lack in life. That when Jesus appeared physically as if he was broke, he just looked and said, what's going on? No money here. He just checked inside for a moment. Now, I'm adding my own words. And said, Peter, get a hook. Go and fish. A fish will come out, open its mouth. You will find in it enough money for you and for me. That is, you couldn't catch him. You know what I'm going to say? And he doesn't have the resources to solve his problems. It's not possible. It's not possible. Why? Because of understanding. Because of the realm of life he was walking in. If you are going to walk by faith this year, it's going to be because you have understanding. People walk in blindness. And that's why their life is out of course. They don't understand what God is saying. He said they don't know, they don't understand. Therefore, they walk on in blindness. And the foundations of the earth are shaking under their feet. He said, I said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. He said, but because you don't know it, therefore you perish like men. I hope you are getting my point. Quickly pray. Short prayer. Say, Lord, give me understanding this year. It's my year of understanding. I want to know what's important. I want to know what you have said. I want to know how to assess life. Quickly ask the Lord for it. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive understanding. I receive understanding. Now let's declare the word of God. Say, I declare concerning understanding, and a closer walk with God in this year. I confess that I have a great thirst for the things of God. I say to my soul,
soul,
long after God,
long after knowledge,
long after understanding.
I
feel like prophesying for you. Unquenchable thirst for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of Christ is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me give you a small testimony. This is when I was in Lagos. When the Lord arranged it, I came to Lagos after my NYC in 93. When I arrived in Lagos, all right, I went everywhere listening to the gospel. I was a JJC in Lagos. So I'll be walking on the road. I will see a poster. I will copy do you get my point? I will copy the address and go home where I was staying with my relatives. I said, please, how do I get here? And they would describe it for me. And I jumped from one bus to one molue, cross one bridge. That was how I went to Vanya Christian Center with late Hartford Lopotaife. And then Ron Kennelly came to preach. And I was in a minister session. There were not too many that Ron Kennelly taught. So when I tell you stories about Ron Kennelly, I heard it from his mouth. I was a JJC in Lagos. I was going everywhere listening to me to gospel. I went to, what's the name of, Bishop Michael Kunko's church. It was not too far from our house. I went there. They are doing school of ministry. I go and enroll and sit down there. I just went everywhere. And God ensured that I didn't have work. And the job was to drive my cousin around. Like, it was like an auntie to me, okay? I was living in her house, so all I used to do just drive her around. And then he said, hey, Banky. I say, yes. Please come and drive me. I want to go to the embassy. I say, I'm coming. I went to the house, pack my tapes, enter the car. And then we stop. When she goes down, I put in a cassette and start listening. There was a day I spent 2 hours on the fuel queue. I was not on the queue. Some guys went to the queue. Me, I just parked beside it, went with Jerry Kant. And I listened to 2 messages, Wonders of Faith 1 and Wonders of Faith 2 by David Oyedepo. I did that for a long time until I started working in Luth. And then one day, this is why I'm telling the story. Because of work, a few days had passed, and I had not learned, that I had not listened to any message. I don't know whether you get my point. I'm not joking. Then I started trembling. I was just fidgeting. I checked my collection. Nothing new. What did happen? So I rushed to one of my friends. All right? Dr. Bankolis. I went to him. I said, Femu, do you have anything there? So he sat down. He was thinking what he has at home. He said, I've listened to Born to Taste the Grapes. I said, no. Where is it? He said, okay, it's in his house. I said, let's go. Now, I said, let's go. I followed the guy home that night. That evening, I borrowed my cousin's old Corolla. I normally go around with transistor radio like Malam. I'm not kidding. My back had a small radio like Malam. Not now that I have food. I had a small radio like Malam. Na tepo. That one, the car was driving that evening, didn't have a car stereo. You know, I put that thing on. No earphones. I put it on loud like that in the car. I couldn't even wait. Just like 20 minutes drive to get back home. I said, no. I was so hungry. So that night, I sat down. And I finished listening to that one. Tape one. I think I did 2 tapes. Then my body came down. I knew I was on drugs. Oh God, may I never be cured in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me pray a prayer for you. Catch that infection in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That you will not be satisfied. If a whole day passes and the revelation has not entered your heart, a week passes. Nobody has sat you down to pour 1 hour of teaching into you. This year, you will not be satisfied.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If they give you business opportunity and word opportunity, you will choose word opportunity.
Amen.
You know why? Because when the word enters you, you will be the one creating opportunities for other people. That will be your testimony for this year in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Listen, I infect you with the quest to know more this year in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not be satisfied except you know more every day in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Therefore declare, say, my mind is set on the things that are above.
My mind is set on the things that are above.
As it is written,
if I have been raised up with Christ,
I am to keep seeking the things that are above. I just adapted that from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, declare, say, I have been raised up with Christ.
I have been raised up with Christ.
So I seek the things that are above.
So I seek the things that are above.
Say this, I have found.
I have found.
And will always find.
And will always find.
The word of God.
The word of God.
And the word of God will be joy to me.
And the word of God will be joy to me.
And it will be the delight of my heart.
And it will be the delight of my heart.
The word of God will be precious to my home.
The word of God will be precious to my
home. It will be precious to me. Listen, said
the word of God
this year
will be precious to me
in the name of Jesus Christ. I receive from the Lord insight,
and I receive from the Lord understanding.
I declare that I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of revelation.
The eyes of my heart is enlightened, and I walk in the will of God.
My confidence will be in the Lord.
My hope will be in his word.
Say
this year, fear will not rule me.
Not
I tap into eternal life continually.
By virtue of understanding.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Just say it again. I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of understanding.
I have the spirit of counsel.
I have the spirit of strength.
I have the spirit of knowledge.
And I have the spirit of the fear of God.
One last line. Say, I delight in the fear of the Lord.
Begin to give the Lord thanks.
This is a good year for you. It's a good year for you. You have reached out for the thing that's most important, the knowledge of God. You have reached out for the thing that's most important, the knowledge of God. You have reached out for the thing that's most important, the knowledge of God. You have reached out for the things that's most important. Therefore, I declare in the name of Jesus, this is a good year for you. This is a good year for you. You will attain in your heart the prosperity of the soul. You will attain in your heart the prosperity of the spirit in the name of Jesus. This year, you're settled. You are settled. You will attain in your heart that prosperity, and it will start manifesting outwardly. You will prosper in all that you do. You will prosper in all that you do. You will prosper in all that you do in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Before I go, I just want to say something so that people won't misunderstand something I said earlier about money. I just feel like saying it. As a child of God, you are a giver. Amen?
Amen.
If you are a giver, say amen.
Amen.
If you are a thief, say amen. See, you are not a thief. So you know who you are. You are a giver. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
If you are a giver, say amen.
Amen.
That's what we are as children of God. We are not bribers. We don't bribe God. We don't, anything we don't believe in, we don't give to. We walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? If I don't believe something, I won't give towards it. I don't give to bribe God. I don't give to get from Him. I give because I believe in what is going on. Are you getting my point? So, it is right for a Christian to give to his church. Are you getting what I'm saying? For the propagation of the gospel, to help the poor. The word of God has to advance. Do you understand? It is right. Like I said also, it is right for a Christian to enjoy himself. When you've worn your tie long enough, give somebody else, you can buy another one. It's called the principle of gleaning. Not wear your shirt till it tear. Wear your portion. What do? Glean the rest of it. That's how Christians live. I just feel like emphasizing that. Christians, we are continual givers. We can give the last thing we have. I like keep on giving us an example. I have children. If they are here that, God for, of course, it will not happen. I'm just giving us an illustration. That one of them critically needs the cost of my car, my wife's car, all right, for his life to be saved. Do you think I'll bat an eyelid in dropping it? No, I won't think about it. It's called love. So am I sowing a seed so that God will bless me tomorrow because I'm saving my son's life? No. In the same manner, I believe in giving for the advancement of the gospel. But it's not because I'm bribing God. No, listen, I want to say this one. Because I know this beginning of the year, somebody won't start harassing you. It will soon start. Nobody can threaten you to get anything out of it. Say, if you don't give, you will die in poverty. That day, don't give anything. Say, today, I know they give. Say, why? I know they give. I have to overcome this fear you are trying to put in my heart. You get all these messages, say, forward this to 10 people. Once I get it, I delete it. I delete it just to prove to you, even if I wanted to forward. Once you say forward to 10 people, I don't. I don't care how good it is. What kind of thing is that? Say, I know many Christians who forward this, but they will forward jokes. Yes, I will forward a joke. It's funny. This one you have said, what is funny about? No, I don't know. Don't threaten my soul. Ah. What is it? I write prayer points and send to 400 people at a time. So don't make it look as if I don't forward your small exhortation that you borrowed from somebody, I don't love God. I will delete it. I don't care how good it is. Be delivered from fear.
Yes.
Be delivered from fear.
Amen.
I ban you this year. You are not sowing any seed of money for anybody. Yes, now banning be that too. If you want to give, give. What did I talk? If you want to give, give. Your prosperity is assured in Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you have prospered.
Amen.
You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in that he was rich. But our sakes, yours and mine, he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. That is what seals prosperity. I hope we are clear. You don't bribe God for it. Go and read the story of Jabez. He asked and God gave to him. I hope you are getting my point. Be a God lover. Do things because you believe it. If you hear the gospel is advancing to a particular place and it needs money, if you really believe, that's the problem with a lot of people, they don't have faith. If you really believe that the gospel is the light of this country, won't you put money inside it? You have to just ask yourself, do I really believe or I'm just going to church? Those who really believe, they give to the gospel. They really do. And those who don't believe and give to the gospel because they are what they are going to get, hear ye the word of the Lord. They don't get anything. It's only the pastors and the churches and people like me that get it. That's why I always want people, don't sow jaguda seed into my life. Don't, I've been begging you. But if you want to give me food because I've been a blessing to you, bring them. I go chop them. So this last Christmas, I got a lot of sweet, sweet things. One brother sent me a message, one of the greatest gifts for Christmas for me. No, he didn't send a message. Did he send a message or he told me? Yes, he sent a message, even though I saw him in December. He said, you have blessed me more than any other person dead or alive. To me, that was the greatest. He said, you've blessed me more than any other person dead or alive. He's always trying to make, the fellow I'm talking about, you've seen me wear things he made before. Always trying to make, the other day I had to tell him, say, wait, when I come, we'll see. He went to make stuff again and send to me. He gathered all my children, measured all of them. So let him put clothes on all of them. He said, yeah, I enjoyed that, but let me sow into your life so I will reap. That's how I'm going to tear my skin. Because when you are praying, you're going to pinch. God, do I give to that man? I give to that man. Please, if you want to give to me, don't sow. Are you getting my faith? Because now my body thing will take germinate. I don't want. I don't want wahala for my soul. I hope you are getting my point. Oh, the Lord is good. I don't know. I just feel like clarifying that. I felt so that somebody will understand what I'm saying. All right, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, we're going to share the grace in a moment, but I want us to sort of modify it. Normally, we say this is our season of fruitfulness. I want you to add multiplication to it, all right? When we get to that, this is our season of fruitfulness. Say, this is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication. I hope you get my point. All right, let's start. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody on your left and your right.
This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Somebody else. This is your season of